Well, hi everybody, welcome to the live stream. Thanks for joining us. You know, it's just so good to have you week in and week out. For those of you who can't make it out to our services out at CPC or here at the WRC campus, as you know, we've been going through Ephesians and we've been enjoying just discovering what it means to become alive in Christ, and that is an opportunity for each of us today. Been learning about his spiritual blessings, like just the grace that he offers us, the mercy that he offers us. We've been talking about this love that is hard to contain. It's wider, higher, deeper, longer. It's just an amazing thing. So thanks for being on that journey with us. A couple things I'd like to suggest for those of you who do watch online. One of them is enter into the worship. I know it's kind of weird, and it's like, can anyone hear me? If you're alone, no, other than God, and he doesn't care, you know, if you can harmonize with Kim or not. And I can tell you that God will meet you in the midst of that. So I encourage you with that. And second of all, if you are on your own, man, I'd encourage you to reach out to somebody following the service and maybe just interact with them a little bit on what God's been saying, what God's been doing in your life. Anyhow, thanks so much for joining us. You have a great day.
Hello, welcome, thank you for joining us. As you can see, I am not Kim, but we still have announcements for you. So, Christina, what's going on here at SBC?
Yeah, as you all know, we are currently in a process of looking for a new lead pastor. And so we are inviting you to speak into the process by filling out a short questionnaire, and we opened it last Sunday. And I wanna first say thank you so much to all of you who have already got on to that questionnaire and filled it out. We are so grateful for your participation in this process. The questionnaire is still open until this coming Friday, November 11th. So we invite you, if you have not completed it, whether you're new here at SBC, or you're a longtime member, to head to our website and find the questionnaire and fill that out.
That's right. What about Sunday the 27th? What's happening then?
Yes. So in order to communicate to you all what we have discovered through your submissions to the questionnaire, we are going to have a town hall meeting on Sunday, November 27th. And in order to do that, we're actually going to be doing one combined service so we can get as many people coming to this town hall meeting as possible. So that means we are going to be all joining together at our Wilkinson Road campus at 10 o'clock a.m. on November 27th. And then after the service, we'll have our town hall meeting.
That's great. So if they'd like to fill out the survey, they can do that on our website.
Yes.
And the 27th, we're having a combined service here at Wilkinson at 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. And we'll have the town hall after that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. Back to the service.
Well, brr. I'm so glad that you've come in out of the cold and the rain, and you've come into this warm place where we can all worship our God together. So grateful that you're here. And as we get started, I just want to read this call to worship from Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. And you guys can stand up while we do that. Unless, do we need to do any like aerobics to like really warm ourselves up? Or are you guys feeling pretty okay? Yeah? Feeling okay? Okay, I'm gonna trust you. And if you don't clap really well in the first song, I'm gonna know that you were giving me a falsehood. But, a falsehood, yeah. Did you like that? Anyways, Psalm 24, 7 to 10. Let's focus our eyes on our God. I for sure need to do that. It says this, open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, invincible in battle. So open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Once again, who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of Glory. So let's praise our King together this morning. Let's start off by singing, our God is both the Lion and the Lamb.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Through the darkness, your loving kindness. tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise.
Praise you because you are our living hope. That because of your work on the cross, you bring hope and you bring life and you bring restoration. You bring renewal, not just for us humans, but for all of creation, God. What a beautiful promise, what a beautiful hope. God, we worship you. We give you glory and honor this morning, and we pray all of this in your name, under your banner. Amen. Well, you guys can have a seat. And Lindsay, this is all you now.
I love what you said right off the top of speaking. Did you say falsehood?
Falsehood.
I love that. That's actually in the text today.
Oh, perfect.
What we're going to be looking
yes,
at.
Yes, the Holy
in a few
Spirit
minutes.
Actually.
Yes. So their falsehood was whether or not they were limber and ready to worship.
Yes.
Is that it? Okay, cool.
And
awesome.
They were. They were
they
not
were?
Giving us a falsehood, I don't think.
They were ready.
Yeah, they were ready.
Oh, okay. Hold on, kids. Not yet. Not yet. Sorry. Wait. Ugh. This is. They're in charge, really, and those of you who are parents know this. Shiloh, where are you? You're calling out, thank you. We just wanted to take a minute. What you don't realize is Shiloh works tirelessly behind the scenes. Shiloh, you before you came on staff here, you were one of those volunteers that we could always call, always lean on. You and I put together all kinds, well, you helped us put on all kinds of dinners for the evening service. Like, you served crazy. Just before COVID hit, we had brought you on staff part-time.
Yeah.
Never did the job you were hired for because COVID hit and everything changed. What's taken place is we've moved through COVID and things have adjusted with our different responsibilities and things like that. Is Shiloh, now we are officially recognizing what you are doing. Shiloh, you are now full-time. You've been full-time for a while. But she is now officially full-time. She is our children's ministry director, which we're thrilled about. She's the one. Yeah, there you go. Whenever we say Shiloh's at the back, now you know who Shiloh is. And some of her job, by the way, is handling things like three people, key people in volunteer ministry this morning got sick, right? So what do we want them to do? Stay home, right? We don't want them to get all our kids sick. But then that throws her into a little bit of a scramble. And a whole bunch of people stepped up. People who had already been through our process and know our ministry and have helped out. But that puts you in a little bit of panic. Shiloh, you're awesome. Thank you so much. You can go with the kids now. Yeah, right on. Awesome. If I could just have that table up front here, that would be fantastic. Deb, I just want to call you forward. And as Deb is coming forward, one thing I just want to highlight for you, just remind you, is that we have on the 27th, right? We talked about this. We're having our combined service. It was mentioned the survey questionnaire. Maybe you were just coming in and you missed that and you're not sure what that is. We are looking to hire a lead pastor. And one of the ways that you can speak into this whole process is through the questionnaire. You can hit our website. And then on the 27th, after the 10 a.m. Service here, we're going to be having a town hall, just a chance to sort of feed back to you what you have told us, answer some questions about the process and all these kinds of things. All right, Deb, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, now some of you recognize Deb Garcia. Yeah. What organization do you head up, Deb?
Eternal Anchor.
You've been doing that for how many years?
I have been doing Eternal Anchor. It's going to be 9 years in December.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we were just debating in the front row here how many years we've been partnering with you, and you have come down with a definitive
5 years.
Okay, all right, awesome.
5 years.
Yeah,
we've
amazing.
Been working
hey,
together.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Now, why don't you just give us, for those who may have forgotten, because some are like me and we forget things, a little bit about your ministry. What is the scope of it? What do you do? Eternal Anchor, yeah, in Mexico.
Okay, yeah. So Eternal Anchor, we are a nonprofit that works with children and adults with disabilities, and we do this holistically. Why do I say that we do it holistically? Because we realize that in my country, in our culture, people with disabilities have been casted aside. They are said to be the result of unforgiven sin in families, of unrepented sin. So families have always shunned people with disabilities or been embarrassed of that. And our heart and our passion is to see the community celebrate them, to see families embrace their children, and to see them as people who have something to give, right? Like, we all have something to give back, and people with disabilities do. So we have a home, a school, horse therapy program, and a mobility center where we make sure that people have wheelchairs and all sorts of adaptive equipment so that kids can go to school and adults can go to work. And what I love about our partnership yep. is that when I came, I think it was 4 years ago when I came the last time, and I did this video about partnering for Christmas, and you guys funded what is going to be the wall of our school, and we've had this dream for years that we are going to build this fantastic school for 100 kids with disabilities, and it's going to be like this building you just walk in, and it's going to be warm, and it's going to be perfect, and guess what? That is not happening. Okay, this is like a $1 million project in rural Mexico. But we always want the best, right? Like, we want the best for our children and for our communities. And just being realistic, sometimes that's just not real. So we said, we've been fundraising for this for years. We don't have the money. We need the school now because we already run a school for 50 kids. And we have 55 kids on our wait list. So we need the school today, like mañana. Like now. So we decided if we have the build and we've already partnered and right. you've already helped us build this wall, why don't we just devote this year to looking at churches that have come to Mexico and said, we want to build a home. I'm like, well, don't build a home. You know, don't come to Mexico to build a family a home because, well, let's not even get started as to why not. But come and help us build a classroom that's going to change special education in a country that in the last 6 years, funding for special needs people, like people with disability, have lost their funding. There's less schools, there's less programs for families, and we live in a community where there's only one government school for kids with disabilities, and they can only fit 20 kids. Wow. So partner with us, think about it. All right. If you want to come to Mexico, and build a classroom alongside the parents, because we've pitched this to our own community and said, parents, if you want your kids to have their own school, come alongside of us. We've said this to our community as well. So we would love to see that in the future, okay. and I hope that happens. I'd love to see you there. And this is not just changing now, but it's changing the future of Mexico. And something, I'm just going to like go into it when I can.
This is an amazing interview, isn't it? It's just like wind her up and off she goes. Passion, I love it. Go.
So when I came, I don't even know if you knew, but back then I used to do everything. I was the teacher, I was the administrator, I was the house mom. I've had 9 kids with disabilities, and there was a boy many years ago. He's 7 now, and I got him when he was 2. And when I met him, the first 2 weeks of my life, I just cried and cried and cried because, man, was he hard. And I thought, I would never be able to do this kid. I really hope somebody else takes him. And after 2 weeks, I just knew he was my son. And I always cry, but it was really hard getting him. It's when I dived into adoptions in Mexico, and I saw that I live in a country that in the last 5 years has only had 139 adoptions. And that's not including my son. Because we're in the process. I've been doing this for 2 years now, fighting to have him be my son. He is right now legally in my custody, but I still can't take him out of country. And after seeing those statistics, I was like, I can't change the world, but I'm gonna do my part to change my country. And I became a single mother. And I'm like, how hard can it be? It's hard. Let me tell you, it's hard. So I have a son. And when I did that, I thought it was just about me and my journey. And it's been really humbling because in the last 2 years since I decided to adopt my son, 3 other people at Eternal Anchor have done the same and said, you know, if you can do it as a single mother and you're crazy, we can as a couple. Or I can too as a single mother as well. So 4 kids have been taken out of our residential program and have been given forever homes. And I just, I'm constantly reminded how important it is to follow our calling. You know, like when God says you should do something, you probably should. Because it's not just about how it makes you feel fulfilled. It's hard, man. It is really hard. But it makes you feel so fulfilled. And as you're feeling fulfilled in your purpose of why you're in this world, it changes the world. And that's what Jesus called us to do, right? Mm. And so often at church, we lose our focus of why we're here, why that door is open. And we get lost in something that isn't. And I love coming to this church because I'm always reminded to walk humbly, love mercy, and act justly, right? And that's what we do at Eternal Anchor, and that's why I love partnering with you guys.
Yeah. Well, we love hearing you. And can I go back? Did you say in your country it was 100, like in the country of Mexico, 5 years, 139?
Yes. Okay, I'm writing my thesis.
I was just going to say, so this world is changing. At least the world in which you live, the space that you are able to influence. You're working on your thesis, and you're moving Eternal Anchor into another. Every time Deb comes, there's always a new initiative, right? You remember that every time. And so you're working on something coming up in the new year.
Yeah, I'm graduating. I'm getting my master's in family law because I'm very passionate about adoption. And Eternal Anchor will start facilitating adoptions for children with disabilities because adoption is expensive, right? So if we can come alongside the family and, hey, we'll do the legal part for you. You don't have to worry about that. That's providing a bigger opportunity, and our hope is to see Baja, which, again, statistics, Baja, our state, is the number two state with most orphan children in Mexico, and Mexico holds number three in Latin America with most orphans. And globally, we are down 40% in children being adopted in the last, I believe, 6 years.
Wow.
But that's another topic.
Yep.
But let's talk about the importance of these kids, what's happening once they come out, right? I mean, kids with disabilities don't. They live and die in government shelters because they're not adopted. But there are a lot of kids that can. And to me, I grew up in this world. You know, I grew up at a ministry. I was a missionary kid. And I just got to say, I never thought I'd be where I am.
Yeah. Okay, so that was actually one thing I wanted to get, because as I said to you earlier, we're always looking for ways to be inspired. You know, you were heading down a certain path. You talk about how you're writing your thesis, lawyer, all that kind of stuff. You didn't expect to end up here. How did God direct you, lawyer Deborah Garcia, to end up doing this? What are some of the things, how did God do that?
I don't know. But I know that when I graduated law school, I said I was only going to give 1 year back to God because I was so grateful for the way that God just provided so many opportunities for me. I got to be an exchange student in the U.S., and that opened up my world vision. And I got back into Mexico, and I learned what culture shock was. And when I walked into this 1 year of giving back to God, I did the most stupid thing you could do, and I prayed, and I said, God, use me and stretch me.
Did you not hear what I said? I said, we're trying to inspire people.
Sorry.
And so the really good thing you said was, God, use you, God, direct you. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just to be clear, just making sure we get that.
And like I meant it. I didn't know what I was saying.
Yeah. Deb, we don't know. We don't know what this looks like, this partnership moving forward in this whole educational piece. Yeah. We want to be in conversation with you. We want to dream with you. You inspire us. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to speak, and then we'll run off to the other campus and wind you up again and let you just go. Let's pray together. Yeah. God, I thank you that you care about each and every one of us in this room, for sure. But Lord, you care about the kids, the adults in this area of San Quintin of Mexico, that you've laid a burden and a dream on Deborah's heart. You've laid it on other coworkers, other people who are helping fund these opportunities, these ideas. Why? To honor and value each and every individual, whether they have special needs or not. Lord, this idea that someone with special needs is a curse is just from the pit of hell. And God, we want to be like you, and we want to honor and value and care about every individual. And so we have a lot to learn here in Victoria. Might you continue to inspire us? Might we learn what it is to partner with Eternal Anchor as we move forward? Pray for your blessing on Deb as she finishes up her schooling and works on this whole new chapter with Eternal Anchor, with adoption. God, it's for your glory that she does this. Thank you for that innocent prayer. God, just use me in whatever way you want. We would pray that for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Deb. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. Just absolutely love having Deb. I met Deb, I guess 4 years ago when you came. And every year it's the same. There's something new, and God's just always challenging. And so I hope that that's true for each and every one of us, that we don't settle, right? God wants to do things. God is on the move. God wants to work in and through you. We are in the middle of a series in the book of Ephesians. If you got a Bible or a smartphone or something with the Bible on it, or a photographic memory, we're going to chapter 4, verses 17 to 32, all right? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, this whole series is this idea that we are going to come alive in Christ, that we are going to come alive in Christ. We're not going to get, like, paranoid about it and get all stressed about it, but we're going to intentionally, with intention, try to discover who God is, what he has done, what he offers us, how he wants to walk with us. How we can become alive, not just in this room, but as we head out from this room, as we hit the ground on Monday and Thursday afternoon and Saturday morning and wherever we find ourselves, whether it's in commerce and business, in our homes, in recreation, that God might be current and relevant, like alive in our lives. And Paul has been challenging us with that. Now, to be alive in Christ has a look to it. To be alive in Christ has a way about it. Let me read for you Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Thanks, Kim. And speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with your hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ
God forgave you. Don't live like the Gentiles. Remember that? Are you a Gentile? Remember we talked about this early on? Who's a Gentile? Everyone who's not a Jew. All right? That was the idea. So you can't get out of this. Paul is saying, don't live like them. Like, this is that old former way, this old before Christ kind of living thing. Like, leave that behind is what he is encouraging us all about. He says, when people live in that way, it uses words like kind of darkened. There's a futility to it. That when we live in this way, we get separated, if you like, from the life of God. From the way that God has for us, this way of life, this new look that God is calling us to. Verse 18, he says there that what happens is our hearts begin to harden. And it goes on to say, and we lose all sensitivity. You know, earlier in the year, we were doing a lot and talking a lot about the Spirit of God. How the Spirit of God wants to work in our lives and wants to work in our hearts and in our minds, like in the soul, like in the depths of who we are. Paul is cautioning us, be careful. It's very possible to harden your heart. It's very possible to lose all sensitivity to God and what God is trying to do, and maybe how God is trying to move you and direct you. We need to be careful. I said at the beginning, to be alive in Christ has a look, it has a way. It says right in there that there is a way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ. There's a way about it. There's a look to it. There's a former way, and then there's the way. And there's a look around it. Now, as we read through these verses, you likely heard and saw what Paul was talking about. And he said, listen, you need to put off some things. You need to put some things off, like take some things off, get rid of some things, because they're a hindrance and they're in the way. Possibly hardening your heart. Possibly causing you to lose the sensitivity, the direction, the ability to hear the Spirit of God. What are we supposed to put off? We're supposed to put off things like falsehood. We should be people who love the truth. We're to put off something called anger. Put it off. We're not to steal. That's an interesting one. We'll get back to that in a moment. I think most of us who walk through the doors this morning and probably checking us out online, you probably don't steal, at least not in the normal way. Maybe we'll have time to get into that in a minute. Bitterness. Put it off. Don't let it settle in. Put it off. Rage. Anger comes up again. Might there be an issue with anger in the room? Maybe. Brawling? Well, we're Victorians. We're better than that. Slander? Uh-oh. Malice? Put these things off. Like, set these things aside. Fight against them. And so there's some things, of course, Paul doesn't just say get rid of some stuff. He says there's some things that we should put on. So as you can imagine, some of them are like the opposites of what we've just listed on the things that we should be putting off. We should be people of truth. We should not speak falsehood. We should be people who care about truth. We should be people who work. Who work. Did you notice, little rabbit trail here, did you notice what the purpose of the work was? Did you catch it? That we might share with those in need. Interesting, eh? I don't know that that's my first thought when I think about my paycheck. I'll let that settle in on you. We're to put on this idea of being helpful. It talks about how Paul says in here, when we communicate with people, when we have conversation, we are to do it in a way that benefits the other person. Like, it's not about us just sort of exhaling and getting something. I just had to get that off my chest. And we just kind of all over somebody and maybe not make them feel all that wonderful. No, don't let any unwholesome talk. Like, be truthful. Be people who care about the result of that conversation, that it would benefit those who listen. We are to be kind people. We are to be compassionate people. We are to be the people. What it looks like to come alive in Christ is that we are the kind of people who forgive others like Christ forgave us. What does that mean? Without merit. Like, before they come to us and ask us for forgiveness, we are to have this spirit of forgiveness. We are to be a person like in and around the orbit of who we are. Like, there's just supposed to be this sense that we are forgiving people. You don't have to earn it back. You don't have to somehow do all of these, you know, these hoops and jumps and all these things. We are to forgive as Christ forgives us. He made the first move. Says there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus, right? That it would benefit others. And folks, says right in here, Paul says it, this is a new attitude. Am I right? Like this, what Paul is talking about here, what we have just gone on about, this is a new attitude. And it's not normative in our culture. It's not likely normative to you just as you get up and wake up every day. Now listen, I think we understand here to follow Jesus, right, is this idea of an about face, right? We talk about the word repentance and we talk about how it's, I'm going my way and then when I repent, I do a 180 and now I'm following Jesus. There is no doubt about it. That is what it means to follow God, to follow Jesus with our lives. It's turning from my way to God's way. And it's new. It's turning from my thoughts to God's thoughts. It's turning from my values to God's values. It's turning from my instincts, sort of that, you know, that just that all of a sudden that reaction, like my reaction, my instincts to God's instincts, to his reactions. It's an about face 100%, but listen, it's got to be followed up with a daily renewing, a daily recalibrating, a daily re-educating ourselves. Why? Because this is a new way. This isn't something that we just naturally wake up every day and go, woohoo, I want to live my life to benefit others. Right? That's just sadly not the way we generally just kind of wake up. And it's hard because what we experience around us within culture, and there's some wonderful things in our culture and our world, don't hear me wrong on that, but in general, we are being driven and reminded that it's really up to us to care for us and don't worry about anyone else. And it's a daily struggle not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that? Right in the midst of all this relationship stuff, throws down this, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm like, wow, okay, it's possible that I've just done that and how I treated so-and-so. Is my heart hard? Like, am I losing that ability to feel and be led by the Spirit? Did this whole thing just really become all about me? In order to come alive, we need to over and over and over and over and over again learn what it is to trust and rely and be led by the Spirit of God. Paul mentioned in the first chapter, remember all those things? Like every spiritual blessing is for us. Like these amazing riches that God has poured out upon us. And then every time he goes to a prayer, he talks about how we need to learn how to trust and have the Spirit of God take over and redefine things to show us his way. to discover the promises of God, to hear and to see his example. Like, if we're going to follow Jesus, we should know what his life was like. He calls us. He forgives us. He restores us. And he repurposes us to that new way of life that we can learn in and around Jesus. And you see, this new way of life, this coming alive in Christ, what I'm just intrigued with as I've been going through, you know, sometimes you'll read one of the letters, maybe you're not like me. I'll read one of the letters. Let me do this. I'll read one of the letters, right? And I just, you know, there's certain things that kind of click away and all that kind of stuff. But then when all of a sudden I'm having to stand up in front of a bunch of people who I think are listening, you guys look like you're listening, right? Awesome. You see some things that maybe you wouldn't see in other times, in other ways. And I said it to you a few weeks ago, and it's just showing up here again, that when you become alive in Christ, your life actually is more about others than about yourself. I mean, you had to have heard that, didn't you? Didn't you hear that in there? See, it shows up when we become alive in Christ. It shows up when we begin to be a people who bless others, who are generous, who consider their job, their paycheck, not solely their own. Like, I find that one really challenging. Like work. Work. Why? So that you have something to share with those in need. I don't fully know what to do with that. Carla and I talk about how do we spend our money? What do we do with our money? What does this look like? Well, you've got needs. Yeah, I got needs, okay. But what about others who have needs? I'm trusting that the Spirit can work in my life as I know he wants to work in your life around this. So we come alive in Christ when we begin to understand that we're to be a people of generosity, of blessing to others, where our jobs are not so much about us, but actually about others. Again, that when we benefit others in conversations, when we're kind and compassionate, we are becoming alive in Christ. When we become a people that and build a, if you like, a relationship culture in and around ourselves, led by forgiveness, that just has the space for others to make mistakes, and it's not the end of the world. That when we communicate them, that we're trying to figure out how can we benefit them, how can we encourage them, how can we help them. This is life. This is when we come alive. Can you imagine a world where anger was no longer an excuse for berating, possibly beating? Where anger is no longer an excuse for slamming of fists and doors and creating this intimidating, sort of isolating because of fear space relationally? Can you imagine that kind of world where anger is kept in check? Imagine a work environment or home where slander is no longer the relational currency. Where there's an intentionality around kindness. Where conversations are considered, how can I talk to them? How can I bring this up that it will truly benefit them? Imagine a world where our personal wealth was seen as something to share and bless others. It's not just the government's job. Imagine families that confronted the generational hostility with the courage of kindness and forgiveness that is a life-changing and freedom-creating space. Like, can you imagine that? See, this is what Paul is talking about. A new way, new attitudes. And only something that can happen when our hearts are not hardened, when we actually have a sensitivity to the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Like those first few chapters, Paul was laying some great theological, foundational stuff for us now. Now he really starts to mess with us. Because it matters. And it's got to leave this room with us. It's got to enter into our homes. It's got to enter into our workplaces. It's got to enter into our wallets. And when these things start to take shape in our lives, we begin to discover this new way. And we become alive in all things God. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day, the chance to be together and to hear from you both in song, in prayer, through what you're doing, through Eternal Anchor, and just the energy around what does God want to do. And God, I would pray that we would have that similar desire as we come to your word and we hear just what seems so clear in here. There are things that we need to put off. There are things that we need to set aside. And we need to put on this new attitude, this new way about us, which is about benefiting others. So God, Spirit of God, soften our hearts. Don't let us just continue in such a way that the sort of the calluses or the buildup that just creates this hardness of heart blocks us, keeps us from the leading of your Spirit. And so, God, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means within our family systems, within our homes, within our businesses, within our neighborhoods, within our own lives, our marriages, with our kids. I don't know what this means. But, God, might there be a new way as we learn what it is to put you on and put off the darkness. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I invite you to stand with us as we close by singing, Build My Life. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. It's the only way that we can really live in this way where Christ is alive in us, is if we build our life on who he is. So we're going to sing this song, and as we sing it, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward as well, and we'll take up the offering. But yeah, let's sing this together. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Show me who you are.
bridge one more time. 'Cause I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
It's interesting how some of the simplest prayers, like the prayer that Deb Garcia prayed, are the ones that can take us in the most surprising places. I think the prayer of this bridge is one of those, just really asking God to build our life, to put our trust in Him alone. Those things can lead us into unexpected places, so. But I think it's really important, and so good to know that we can trust our God, whatever we pray, in whatever ignorance we have, wherever He leads us, we can trust Him. We're so glad that you have, decided to join us and worship with us. It's so good to lift up our voices together, and as always, we'll have some people up here as you leave, if you would like to pray with us, or if you want to pray with someone that you came with, someone next to you. We would love to make this space available for that. And if you would like to connect with us, I was like, what else is there? If you would like to connect with us, if this is your first time here, or if there's just anything that you would love us to know, any way that we can connect you more into the wider community of SBC, we would love to do that. There's some cards in the chairs in front of you, or if you're watching online, you can head to our website and there's space for that. But we would love to connect you to others in our community, because faith is not about going it alone. It's about doing this in community. So as we go from this place, I just want to leave us with this benediction from Jude. And it says this: to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So go in peace. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.